Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Heavenly Father, we come today to do just that. Just that, to give you thanks and praise. Lord, speak to us now in your Holy Spirit that we might hear what you would have us to hear, so that we might live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. In your holy and precious name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen. Please be seated. In a play about the crucifixion of Jesus, the playwright John Masefield creates a conversation between one of the Roman soldiers who were there on Calvary when Jesus was crucified, creates a conversation between that Roman soldier and the wife of Pontius Pilate. During the course of the conversation, the soldier tells Pilate's wife that he does not think that Jesus has remained dead and buried. So she asks, where then might he be? The soldier replies, he is let loose in the world where no one can stop him. My friends, that's the crux of the Easter good news. Jesus has been let loose in the world, and he wants to change our hearts, and he wants to transform our lives. Now, I suspect some of you here today, some of you watching on the internet, some of you would welcome a change in your lives this morning. Maybe your relationship with your spouse or your employer or your children is on the rocks. Maybe you're struggling with your finances. Maybe you're depressed or you're battling an addiction of some type. Maybe down deep, way down deep, you're lonely or afraid. Maybe you've been deeply wounded by events in your life. Maybe you have been or you are being sexually or emotionally or physically abused. Whatever your problem is, you sense that it's robbed you of any real happiness to the point that now you're just going through the motions of living. So much so that you're here today. You're here today searching for something or someone who will change your life forever, who'll restore your confidence and joy and help you to shed your past burdens and to overcome future obstacles. Well, if that's you, let me tell you the Easter good news. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead to make that kind of dramatic change possible in your life and in mine. All that we have to do is to believe the Easter good news and to personally accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Now, I know that some folks find that easier said than done. That was true for Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, and it's true for many folks today. But I'm not here to talk about others. I'm here to talk to you. And the question is, how are you going to respond to the Easter good news? How are you going to respond to the Easter good news? Let me suggest first that some of you are going to doubt. When the women told Jesus' disciples that he was alive, they thought the story of the resurrection, they thought it was all nonsense. Luke puts it plainly. He says, these words seemed to them an idle tale. They didn't believe them. Now, perhaps you're in that same boat today. You've never seen anyone who has risen from the dead. You've studied some biology and you've been to a few funerals. And short of absolute proof, you are not able to trust that God is powerful enough to pull that one off. But folks, that just means that you've not yet made the faith connection. Some 20 years ago, it was necessary to replace the whole irrigation system around our historic church over on the bluff overlooking the May River. But after the entire irrigation piping had been replaced, after all the sprinklers had been put in place, and a new well and pump had been completed, the landscape still could not be watered. Why? Because the whole system had to be connected to a source of electricity. It had to be powered up before it could do what it had been created to do. Now, the point is, God created you for a purpose. Just like the irrigation system, he created you for a purpose. He created you to love you and to bless you so that you could love and bless others in his name. But until you personally connect with the source of power, which comes from faith in the resurrected and living Jesus Christ, your life is never going to be fulfilled. After hearing the women's account of the two angels at the empty tomb, telling them that Jesus was alive, the disciples doubted. But then Luke goes on and he tells us that, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Peter wanted to investigate. He wanted to see what had really happened. Peter was curious. My friends, the greatest obstacle to faith is not doubt. It's closed-mindedness. You see, some people think they've got everything figured out when it comes to God, so much so that they dig their heels in when they're asked to consider the possibility that God could be doing something new. And as a result, they live stunted lives, trapped in the faith of a two-year-old. They never grow. They never change. Maybe you're like that. But Peter wasn't. Peter knew that a necessary precursor to personal change is a new perspective of God. A new perspective of God. St. Paul was raised to know and love the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was a devout Jew, educated and obedient to the law of Moses. In his own words, Paul said that he was zealous for God. So when the Jews began to turn to Christ after the resurrection of Jesus, Paul went on a crusade. He says, I persecuted these followers of Jesus to the death, binding and delivering them to prison. Men and women didn't make a piece of difference to me. I was after them. I understood God to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This whole new thing, that's not for me. His heels were dug in. Now, Paul was so anxious to stamp out this new way of understanding God that he went so far as to receive warrants from the high priest in Jerusalem to chase down these Christians, chase them down as far away as Damascus over in present-day Syria. Now, understand, please, that Paul had never met Jesus. He'd never heard him speak. He'd never witnessed any of his miracles. But as Paul drew near to Damascus, Paul, he was then known as Saul, he encountered the risen Christ for the first time. Paul recalls the event. He says, and I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Friends, that was a transforming moment in the life of Paul. Indeed, later on, he would tell the Christian believers in Corinth when he traveled there as a missionary. He said, I'm here today to speak to you. I'm not going to use any big words. I'm not going to talk about the law of Moses or any of those things I grew up with. I'm just here to share a personal story with you. I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to talk to you about the difference that he's made in my life and the difference he can make in yours as well. Friends, the Easter good news is that Jesus has been let loose in the world. And now the same power that changed Paul's hatred to love, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that same power is available to you. Be open to it. Once you've taken that step of faith, your world is never, ever going to be the same again. We just said, hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Now, you can respond to that message with doubt. You can respond with curiosity. Or you can believe. Jesus appeared to his disciples numerous times and interacted with them in various ways during the 40 days that followed his resurrection that led up to his ascension into heaven. You ever wondered why he appeared to the disciples? And he didn't just appear to the disciples in those 40 days. He appeared to hundreds of other people too. Why did he do that? Why did he interact with them? Very simply so that they would believe. And they did. But the real question today is a personal one. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead after dying on Calvary's cross? Do you believe the Easter good news? Well, if so, you'll be living the kind of transformed life that'll make a transforming difference in the lives of others. I wonder, you say you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I wonder, does your belief in Jesus, Lord and Savior, does it show itself day in and day out in your lives? See, if we believe, it ought to make a difference in our lives, shouldn't it? Is it making a difference in yours? I'll give you three criteria you can evaluate yourself. First, believers continually want to share the good news. See, believers are like those first women who went to the tomb and they found that empty tomb. They have to tell somebody about it. Luke writes, he said, when they came back from the tomb, they were just bubbling over. They told all of us about what was going on. Who have you told about Jesus? You say you believe in him. Who have you told about him? There were many Romans who were present on Calvary the day that Jesus was crucified. Some say that Marcellus was one of them. Marcellus was a fine soldier. He'd always wanted to be a centurion. His superiors consistently rewarded his outstanding efforts with promotions. And in time, Marcellus was nominated for the rank of centurion. To receive that promotion, he had to go through a ritual that involved bowing before an image of Caesar and proclaiming, "Caesar is Lord." That's where the problem came for Marcellus. Because you see, after the resurrection of Jesus, Marcellus had become a Christian. And he recognized that to go through that ritual would be to deny his faith that Jesus is Lord. Marcellus refused to go through the ritual. He refused to proclaim Caesar as Lord. Now, though his superiors were sympathetic about his feelings, they urged Marcellus to bow before the image of Caesar, and they warned him that if he did not proclaim Caesar to be Lord, that he would be executed. But Marcellus would not deny his faith. And shortly thereafter, Marcellus was beheaded before his fellow legionaries. Then the commanding officer stood before the ranks and he said if there were any other Christians in the ranks, that it was time for them to step forward too. And amazingly, many did, even though they knew the fate that awaited them. Now you see what had happened? As Marcellus was soldiering with his fellow legionaries, he had been talking to them about Jesus. They could see the difference that faith in Jesus had made in his life. And as they were shouldering side by side, many of them had become believers. Friends, Jesus is let loose in the world, and not even the discipline of the Roman legion could constrain his power to change hearts and transform lives. Whose life has been transformed because of you? Those who believe in the Easter good news have an irresistible desire to share their belief. They also have an optimism that's rooted in their trust in God. Optimism. Are you optimistic? Or are you cynical and pessimistic? A little story from long ago. A small Midwestern community had been drought-stricken for what seemed like an eternity. And the farmers and townspeople were in a quandary as to what to do. Their very survival was at stake. As the problem became more and more urgent, the local church planned a prayer service to ask God for rain. As the people began to arrive at the little country church, the pastor slowly circulated among them. Everyone was visiting back and forth from pew to pew and talking across the aisles. They were enjoying this opportunity to socialize with their neighbors. when the pastor stepped into the pulpit to start the prayer service, he noticed a 7-year-old girl sitting in the very front row. She was beaming with excitement. And on her lap was a bright red umbrella. The pastor smiled, realizing the faith that that young girl possessed. Faith that the adults in the room seemed to have forgotten all about. They'd come just to pray for rain. That child had come to see God answer their prayers. Are you optimistic? Do you pray trusting that God will answer your prayers? If you believe the good news, you're going to want to share it with others the way Marcellus did. You'll be optimistic like that little child was, trusting that God's going to impact on your life in positive ways. And then lastly, you'll face everything that life throws at you with confidence, even death. Gloria Lewis died late in the afternoon on Palm Sunday in 2012. I'd visited with her often, and I'd watched cancer take an increasing toll on her frail 87-year-old body. During our quiet times together, Gloria had shared her heart with me in a way that she had with no other than her husband, Ed, her beloved husband of 51 years, who had died the previous July. As Gloria gradually transitioned from sofa to wheelchair to bed, her Bible and her devotional books were never far from her side, and neither was Jesus. She said, I talked to Jesus just like I used to talk to Ed. And then she smiled and said, I still talk to Ed, you know. He's in his office. And he was. I looked, and there sitting on his desk was Ed's ashes, waiting to be interred with Gloria's. The afternoon before she died, I knelt beside Gloria's bed to say goodbye to her. I gave her the little wooden cross that was in my pocket. And as I did, I reminded Gloria that Jesus had paid the penalty for her sins on Calvary, and that he'd risen from the dead so that she could have life, even though she was soon going to die. The smile on her face told me that she understood and was confident in God's word. When Gloria died the next day, she was still holding on to that little wooden cross I'd given her. But more importantly, Gloria had lived with the cross, the Lord of the cross, in her heart for her whole life. We see the cross. Many of us make the sign of the cross on our bodies. But is the Lord of the cross in your heart? Do you trust in God's word? Will you be confident as you lay down to die? Friends, there's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to change people's lives in marvelous ways. Because Jesus is let loose in the world, you and I and others who have been transformed by his Holy Spirit have been let loose in the world. We've been let loose in the world to transform the world in his name and for his glory. A closing thought. A father overheard his two small sons, little boys, playing church. The older one of the little boys was explaining various parts of the service to his little brother. These are little people. And the older one of the two little fellows said, do you know what this means? And he made the sign of the cross. The little fellow shook his head. He didn't know what that meant. The little boy said, it means some of you go out this way and some of you go out that way. Now we laugh, but the little fellow was right. The cross sends us out into the world. Someone has said that the really important thing for any church is not how many it seats, but how many it sends. And so it is, my friends. You're going to be sent out today, and as you do, we'll be singing, He's risen, He's risen. Tell it out with joyful voice, you know. You're being sent out to proclaim the good news, to tell it out with joyful voice, not to go into hiding like so many Christians are these days. You've been transformed to be a transforming agent in the Lord's name and for His glory in this world. Look around you. What difference have you made in your little world? What difference have you made in your family, in the places where you work and play? Are you a transforming agent? Is the risen Christ really alive in you? Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son to come and walk amongst us, to die like us, but in a very real way, to die for us. And then to rise again, to live for us so that we might live for him. Come, Lord Jesus, into our lives in these complex times when pressures are mounting on us in all different kinds of ways to deny our faith. In a very real way, many of us are up against the same challenge that Marcellus was. Are we going to stand for it or not? He stood tall. Lord, may we stand tall, not for our glory, but for yours. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen.